What is a prison? We've all heard the official narrative of it being a cage where bad people are housed and taught essential skills anew so that they can re-enter society and be a more productive part of it. Yet, a vast number of prisoners currently behind bars in the United States are there for minor drug offenses. To paraphrase the legendary Bill Hicks, we have to evolve new ideas, folks. For example, why is the drug czar of the United States a cop? Why isn't he instead someone who's been through recovery, who has had alcohol and or drug addiction and overcome it, and offers instead hope and compassion rather than condemnation and jail sentences to drug abusers? They're not criminals. Drug abusers are not criminals. They are sick, and putting sick people in jail, does that make any sense? Especially in a country that tells the world there is a for-profit opportunity at every glance. I'm Nick Blake, and today we talk private prisons.
Many states are even contracting out entire prisons. Nearly 9% of prisons are currently run by private firms like Geo Group and Corrections Corporation of America, who had combined revenues of over $3 billion last year. They're publicly traded. And while their marketing materials emphasize how much they do to help their prisoners rebuild their lives, their pitch to investors has been a little bit different.
In a recent investor presentation, CCA pitches its unique investment opportunity. Another reason investing in the jailing of people makes good financial sense: high recidivism.
Oh, that is a great way to reassure your investors. Look, we see your concerns, you know, what if we fully rehabilitate the prisoners and they become fully functional members of society? Well, don't worry, that's not the kind of company we're running here. Don't worry. Once we're done with these prisoners, they're like human boomerangs. They're broken right in the middle and they keep coming back. The key problem with running prisons as businesses is that prisons are then run as businesses. Pay and staffing ratios are so much lower that a Geo Group youth facility in Mississippi sometimes had just two officers overseeing as many as 256 prisoners. That facility eventually closed, but only after a federal judge wrote that physical and sexual abuse was rampant there because its operators had allowed a cesspool of unconstitutional and inhuman acts and conditions to germinate. Now, I know that Geo will say that presents an unbalanced picture of their company. So in the interest of balance, I will point out that they got an award from the state of Florida citing their bold and innovative cost-saving business practices. Although I think we all know when the state of Florida gives you an award, that award is basically sarcastic.
That was John Oliver giving us a brief rundown of current state of affairs of for-profit jails. The program was recorded back in 2013, but the situation has not been significantly altered. In fact, it soon may be quite the opposite. While President Obama's administration has shown signs and even took practical steps in August of this year to curb a private prison expansion, the surprising victory of Donald Trump has launched stocks of publicly traded corporations that actually run prisons through the roof, in some cases up to 60%. Why is that? Well, Obama's approach was to cut costs and instead of housing illegal immigrants on U.S. territory in private prisons, which is a lucrative business to say the least, just deport them back across the border. On the other hand, Trump's rhetoric of deporting millions of illegal immigrants is a scale even Obama's efforts pale in comparison to. No wonder GEO Corporation and others have seen their share prices surge once the majority of ballots have been cast. To get a clearer perspective on the issue, we got a hold of an associate professor of criminal justice and director of the Center for Race and Juvenile Justice Policy at the University of North Florida, as well as the author of Private Prisons in America, A Critical Race Perspective, Michael Hallett.
There's a huge industry in for-profit commerce in offenders and illegal immigrants. So particularly the most lucrative contract, though, for housing a human being in the private prison industry is an illegal immigrant because the per diem payment is highest for those federal custody inmates, which are illegal immigrants. So if indeed President-elect Trump decides to be aggressive in capturing and detaining and ultimately deporting illegal immigrants to the United States, that would be a very lucrative process or prospect for the private prison industry. Well, they're disproportionately in the South. In Georgia, the private corporations run several prison facilities that were built by the government, but that are managed by the private corporation. under a lease. They're sort of renting the space. In other cases, the private prison corporations have built actual physical prisons or jails to house, you know, local offenders as well as federal, state, and local. So there's a full spectrum of activity in the for-profit prison industry.
That was Michael Hallett illuminating us on how private prison business functions. Given the fact that a disproportionate amount of prisoners in the United States are non-white and are predominantly in jail due to minor drug offenses, many voice concerns. Notably, if this is indeed a long-term solution to the problem of drug abuse and race, extending all the way to simply conspiracy theories of U.S. government targeting unwanted individuals, all the while making a profit. Here's Joe Rogan discussing the issue with the real Rick Ross.
You know what the problem with stopping the drug war is? There's a whole lot of people fighting the drug war and they'll be out of work. That's going to be a real problem.
Yeah.
One of the things that keeps drugs, certain drugs, illegal is they, you know, the prison guards actually have lobbyists.
Yeah.
They want to make sure that certain drug laws are, they stay in place because that keeps them in business.
Absolutely.
Which is crazy that someone would actually, without having to be there and see the look in a person's eyes when they slam the cell on them, without actually to be there and experience their pain, they're willing to make that decision because they're so far removed from it. It's just them, you know, talking to a lobbyist and, you know, writing something down, and they sign something and make an agreement and shake some hands. And then all of a sudden, boom, this cell somewhere down the line gets shut on a man, and a man loses his life. He loses the reality of the life that he lived because someone is making some money off of him being in jail.
And that children is lose a father.
Crazy. Yeah, children lose a father.
The wife loses a husband. And
crazy. And for victimless crimes. And for, I mean, something completely illogical like most drugs. When you look at most drugs and the harm that most drugs do, it's nothing compared to the harm that legal shit like alcohol does, which nobody's trying to stop. I never heard a single politician say we need to stop people smoking cigarettes. I've never heard one. I'm just waiting for one person to stand up and say, do you know that there is a company that is selling poison that kills 500,000 people every year?
That was Joe Rogan essentially pointing out that putting people in prison and making money off of it is bad for karma. But people who do it anyway, since they are so far removed from the actual prisons themselves that, as we already learned, are situated mostly on the southern side of the United States. What many don't understand is that the policies currently enacted regarding incarceration in the United States are, again, for the most part, influenced and motivated by monetary factors. For example, federal anti-marijuana laws have long been seen as the prime suspect of jail overcrowding, which in turn creates the industry of private prisons, since state and federal penitentiaries cannot cope with the amount of citizens getting caught on a day-to-day basis across the country in the possession of a joint. There are other options, ladies and gentlemen, and here is one of them. This is George Carlin and his attitude towards prisons, private and public, in the United States.
Here's another idea. I'm going to save you a whole lot of money on prisons, but at the same time, we are still going to remove from society many of our more annoying citizens. Four groups are going away permanently. First group, violent criminals. Here's what you do with these Emmy Award winners. You take the entire state of Kansas. You move everybody out. You give them a couple of $100 for their inconvenience, you know. Gotta be fair. And then you move them out, you put a big 10-story electric fence around Kansas, and Kansas becomes a permanent prison farm for violent criminals. No parole, no police, no supplies. The only thing you give them is lethal weapons and live ammunition so they can communicate in a meaningful way. Then you put the whole thing on cable TV. The Violence Network, VNN. And for a corporate sponsor, you get one of those companies that loves to smear its logo feces all over the landscape. Budweiser will jump at this in half a minute.
That was George Carlin opening up about his position on prisons. This was just a short segment of his routine. Make sure to YouTube his entire set. Although many of the points this stand-up comedy legend makes are outside the comfort zone of most politically correct America, to an outsider, they sound like an obvious and rational solution. It's the 21st century, folks, and we as a civilization need new ideas. I've been Nick Blake, and you've been listening to As If.